Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Oh, how we need to depend upon God to accomplish anything that is of lasting value. Oh, how we need to develop an attitude of dependence. Jesus said to his apostles, "Without me, you can do nothing." If that was true of them, that is certainly true of us. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing that is of any eternal value, any spiritual value, any lasting value, anything that's valuable in the sight of God. We can only do it in the power of God's Spirit working within us and working through us to touch the lives of others. He's not going to do it if we are passive. We don't sit back and wait for him to do it. But just because we're active and just because we're doing something that appears to be successful doesn't mean that we're doing anything that's successful for eternity. It may turn out to be wood, hay, and stubble in that great day of evaluation. And so we've got to develop an attitude of dependence. And that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy as the last characteristic of the right way to serve God. As he sets it before him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, "Timothy, there are a lot of things you need to keep in mind. If you're going to serve God effectively there in the city of Ephesus, you've got to relinquish a quarreling spirit. You've got to cultivate a spirit of patience. And above everything else, you've got to develop an attitude of dependence upon God." And so let's look into that a little bit more. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, February 11. And many, many thanks to those whose gifts of financial support make it possible for us to continue the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Here's how Paul put it in verse 25. "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." So, where does repentance come from? It comes from God. Repentance is the gift of God, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. Now, there are some that I have heard over the years who act as if any man can repent if he wants to, if he chooses to. He could if he would, and you've got to persuade him to. If they even believe in repentance at all, that's a characteristic that's fallen on hard times in our day and sometimes isn't even emphasized at all. But it's part and parcel of true faith. True faith includes repentance. And true repentance includes faith. And you don't have genuine faith if it's not accompanied by repentance. And you don't have genuine repentance if it is not accompanied by faith. They go together. It's like two sides of the same coin. But where does this come from? Repentance, we are told, is a gift of God. And elsewhere, we're told that faith is a gift of God. Does that make sense? If they are two sides of the same coin, just one aspect of the other, if repentance is an aspect of genuine faith, and if genuine faith is wedded to repentance, and there can be no genuine repentance without it, then it's not surprising that in the Bible sometimes you find repentance referred to as the gift of God. Sometimes you find faith referred to as the gift of God. And here it's repentance. If perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So clearly we have to depend upon God. If repentance is the gift of God, then nobody that we are preaching the gospel to, nobody that we are working with, nobody that we're appealing to, no Christian that we're trying to get to understand his sin and repent and get back in the path of righteousness. None of that will succeed unless God, by his Holy Spirit, grants that person repentance. So as much as we are endeavoring to reach the lost, we must do so with a great spirit of dependence upon God. As much as we are endeavoring to recover a fallen brother, we must always realize that we are totally dependent upon the Spirit of God to succeed. We've got to develop the attitude of dependence. And, by the way, this verse makes it clear that we can't require God, we can't command God. We must let God reveal whether or not he is disposed to give this gift of repentance. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. I have heard some men down through the years who would give passing acknowledgement to the fact that God's got to grant repentance if it will happen, but then hasten on to say, but God will always do that if we will give them the gospel. Wherever the gospel is preached, repentance is guaranteed. If we'll just preach the gospel and call men to repentance, God is guaranteed to grant repentance. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what this verse says. This verse indicates that it's all in the hands of God. It's a sovereign work of God, and we wait upon him to see if he will grant repentance. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. We cannot presume that God will. We cannot assume that God will. We cannot guarantee that God will. We must wait in total dependence upon him to see if he will. It's in his hands. Just like Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but you can't tell where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is sovereign in these matters. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Obviously, according to this verse, nobody understands the truth unless the Spirit of God enables them to. Nobody understands the truth unless the Spirit of God grants repentance so that they can understand the truth. Again, some people act as if we'll just give them the truth, explain it to them clearly, guaranteed that they can understand it. If they but will, it's all up to them. God has done his part. Now it's up to man to do his part. Well, God must continue to do his part. His part didn't end upon the cross of Calvary. Some seem to think so. God has done his part. He sent his Son. His Son bled and died upon Calvary and was raised again from the tomb. And God has now done his part. He's done everything that he can do. Now it's all up to you. Oh no, there's still more that God must do. We're still dependent upon God. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, if he does, they will. If he doesn't, they won't. So what do? We pray. We pray. We must work in an attitude of dependence upon God. Somebody said, work as if everything depends upon you, pray as if everything depends upon God. That's a good way to look at it, but don't forget that second part. Pray as if everything depends upon God, because it does. Verse 26 goes on to say, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. How does that happen, where men come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil? Those who have been taken captive by him to do his will. How does it come about that they escape that? When God grants repentance so that they come to know the truth. Otherwise, they will never escape the snare of the devil. They will never escape the captivity that they are now in. They will never see. They will never understand. They will never come to light and life unless God grants repentance. You see, conversion is the work of God. There is a human responsibility, but there is divine sovereignty. God must give them repentance and faith. God's got to give them the full knowledge of the truth, or else they will remain in the snare of the devil. The devil's captives, captive to the devil's will. Or it could actually mean, depending on how the pronouns in this verse are understood, it could mean that they are a servant of the Lord's captives at God's will. God's captives at God's will, and they are awaiting God's sovereign work to be released. But whether they are captives of God at His will, in other words, their being in captivity to the devil really is being in captivity to God, it really amounts to the same either way, because that's exactly the truth. We know that Satan is only the unwilling servant of Jehovah, and God is able to give repentance and faith and thereby to snatch sinners out of their captivity to Satan. He can take them out of the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, and translate them into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son. God's power can do that. God's grace can do that. But God must sovereignly choose to do that. So we labor, we pray, we hope, we implore, we beseech. We do everything we can to persuade men to believe on Christ, to believe the truth, to repent of their sins, to leave error, to leave sin, to leave darkness, to come to the light. We do all of that, persuading men as energetically as we can, though not manipulating them and not using salesmanship techniques and psychological tactics, but we do that, but all the while praying that God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's how you serve God effectively, according to this text. You relinquish a fighting disposition, a quarreling spirit. You cultivate the spirit of patience, which includes gentleness and forbearance and meekness and humility, along with a patient aptitude to teach, and you develop the attitude of dependence upon God. It all ultimately depends upon God. So recognizing that, we cast ourselves upon Him in prayer over and over and over and over again, asking God to do the work that only He can do, asking God to do the work that He must do, asking God to do the work that He must will to do if it's going to be done, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by Him to do His will. God is able, and God often does, and let's pray that He shall. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.